sounds like they're trying to change the language on that bill to exclude WikiLeaks by saying, you know, something about, you know, organizations that operate and take in anonymous tips or leaks or something. I mean, how viable do you think that is to add into the bill?
Oh, the story is kind of odd for a few reasons. First, I mean, WikiLeaks isn't based in the United States. So even if, you know, a Media Shield bill passed as is today, it's not like they would be covered under it. Also, WikiLeaks wouldn't be under the jurisdiction of the United States government, so it wouldn't, you know, have to comply with a subpoena from the U.S. How this sort of affects the rest of the Shield law, the lobbying efforts, is a bit odd as well. The current, you know, versions of the bill that are being circulated among senators really give a lot of protection for national security information. Essentially, if something were to be a national security concern, the versions of the bill that are sort of being circulated in the Senate now, you know, will allow the government to get that information. So the real question here is, why is this story a big deal, you know, at all, if really the bill as is now, one, wouldn't affect WikiLeaks, and two, really already solves the problem for, you know, a website that might act like WikiLeaks based in the United States. And the answer, I think, here is really contextual. Since the 1970s, getting a federal Shield law passed has been the holy grail of the press lobbying, you know, efforts. And the clock is quickly ticking on this effort. And so there are two reasons why, you know, this story, I think, has popped up, why Senator Schumer said he'd look back at the version already being circulated to see if we can amend it, you know, even more. First, of course, it's important. You know, no press agency is going to say that a Media Shield law should be effective in all situations. Sometimes confidential information needs to be offered to the government. I don't think anyone disputes that. The real, I think, issue here, though, is that Senator Schumer and other proponents of a Media Shield law want to take away some ammunition from those who oppose the law. Essentially, they're worried that if this bill were to go to the Senate floor for a vote, a senator like Senator Kyle from Arizona, who is against this law and really always has been, would have something to sort of hold it up on the floor, some way to instill doubt in those who generally support the bill. And the worry is that if that happens, if this gets held up any more than it already has been, well, then it's not going to pass in this legislative session. If it doesn't pass in this legislative session, a lot of members of the press are extremely worried that it won't pass at all for years to come, and that's because of the shakeup that we're going to see in November. So really, I think this story is a story, not so much because of the face of it. I mean, like I said, the bill, the versions of the bill being circulated now really already protect against what everyone's worried about. Really, it's more of a story that we are getting close to zero hour on a Media Shield law,
right?
You know, for a long time to come.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what about the jurisdiction on WikiLeaks? I mean, you said that you know, they're not based in the U.S., but there have been, I guess, if you have content that runs on servers that are based in the U.S., doesn't that still make it you liable to jurisdiction in all these places where there are servers?
Well, I mean, that's going to get into an issue where, yes, you might have servers, you know, in the U.S. that are sort of publishing this information, but WikiLeaks, you know, hides the source of this information so well that really to get at this information, to find out who was leaking these confidential, you know, items, you'd have to subpoena WikiLeaks itself, that the housing of all of this information, which is based, you know, in various other countries, because the information that's published is the source of it's hidden. So you need to get at the unprotected information, which is not in the United States. Now, given the libel tourism bill that just passed, you know, I guess a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I find it unlikely that another country is going to be willing to lend a helping hand to the United States, you know, prosecutor wishing to find this information. So, I mean, yes, this stuff is housed in, you know, some of it's housed in servers in the United States, but not the versions of it that would give the United States government any indication as to who leaked this information.
Right. Now, but what about the Julian Assange is the guy who's kind of behind WikiLeaks and has spoken and has been in the U.S. before. If the U.S. feels like he is an accomplice to some kind of criminal act of displaying that information, I mean, is it possible that if he was visiting the U.S. that they might try to arrest him?
I guess it's a possibility. I believe I read a story not too long ago that Julian was sort of avoiding coming into the United States, you know, for this very reason. The problem, I mean, with arresting someone like that for, you know, being an accomplice to this type of crime is you have a lot of whistleblower issues, and that just doesn't, I mean, just the general feel of that kind of story hitting, you know, the newspapers just wouldn't really play very well, you know, in the press. It's one thing to subpoena documents and attempt to get information in one way. You know, it's another thing to put a publisher in jail just because, you know, he stepped into the country without anything more. So, I mean, it might be a possibility. I mean, I'm not too sure. That's going to depend on the individual, you know, sort of circumstances and what steps the Justice Department went beforehand to get this type of information. So it's a possibility, but like I said, I think, you know, I think he's sort of trying to avoid the state maybe for this very reason.
Yeah. I'd heard that as well. I guess it's you know, the thing about WikiLeaks that's so interesting is that it does feel like it's kind of a stateless organization that, you know, doesn't, you know, exist in the cloud, and, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any kind of laws or regulations or anything to deal with an organization like them, whether it's, you know, U.S. laws or foreign, you know, European laws or anything. I mean, they kind of exist in this weird space that's almost outside of the laws.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely does. Like you mentioned before, having various servers hold different types of content. And that exposes, I think, sort of a question about the Media Shield bill that I don't think very many people have asked. And that is, you know, let's say we pass a law. How effective is that? You know, let's say we pass a law that had lots of exceptions for national security concerns and various other concerns, which the bill does. It's certainly not an absolute protection for reporters to keep all types of information from every government agency. It has lots of exceptions, lots of give and take in it. But let's say you pass a law. How effective is it if there are these organizations that can pop up in various other countries at various different times and then, you know, be taken down and reorganized in a different country?
Sorry about that.
If you do that, how effective is this type of law? So, I mean, there definitely is a sort of legal vacuum that's happening that we're seeing with the leaks. And I don't really know if there's anything, you know, the United States government can do right now about it.
Yeah, it seems like you'd almost need, I don't even know whether it'd be like an international court or, you know, who would kind of set up or try to regulate something like this. It's just such an unusual kind of, you know, non-state organization that, you know, you just have to wonder how they can try to regulate or how they can try to, you know, bring someone like that into court. It just seems like it would be difficult.
It would be extremely difficult. What you really need is international cooperation between nations. Sort of an agreement between two countries saying, hey, if someone in your country publishes military information that we deem confidential, we'd like you, you know, to find them, arrest them, and extradite them. And the problem with that is that the First Amendment has such different speech laws that every other country.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't say actually every other country, but most other countries are much less speech protective than the United States.
Yeah.
So finding that type of cooperation is going to be difficult because we have such a high standard and compared to other countries which have a much lower standard. That's what you need. You need international cooperation to solve this kind of stuff.